Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is September 26, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Coinbase now supports Stellar and Chainlink cryptocurrencies in New York. Overstock's venture arm invests $2 million in blockchain ID firm. Property blockchain projects announced in Northeast Asia, one Sony related no argument for replacing dollars. Global role with crypto, ex-Fed official. Data privacy startup StrongSalt raises $3 million for encrypted API service. Bittrex adopts Chainalysis KYT software to flag suspicious activity. Libra crypto is undoubtedly a wake-up call for central banks, says ECB exec. ABN AMRO in money laundering scandal after calling Bitcoin risky. Bitcoin may see brief bounce after defending key price support. Mall of America to showcase Winklevoss-backed crypto payments. Facebook's Zuckerberg appears to put Libra launch date in doubt. Repo market meltdown shows Bitcoin's systemic stability, Caitlin Long. The new Medici Bank is about to take on its first crypto clients. Now let's get started. Coinbase now supports Stellar and Chainlink cryptocurrencies in New York. Cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase has announced that New York residents now have access to two cryptocurrencies launched for other jurisdictions months ago. In two tweets late on Wednesday, the exchange said customers based in New York State can now hold, buy, sell, send and receive both Stellar Lumens XLM and Chainlink's LINK token. The cryptos will now be available on Coinbase.com and the exchange's iOS and Android apps in the state. XLM had previously been launched in most jurisdictions on Coinbase back in March, while LINK followed in June. The high regulatory hurdles set in New York were likely behind the delays in adding support. LINK is an Ethereum-based token used to power Chainlink's decentralized network. An API bridging service, Chainlink connects smart contract platforms like decentralized finance products to oracles containing real market data and event information. In a CoinDesk video interview on Thursday, the project's CEO said that offering secure smart contracts pegged to real-world events is the next leap forward in boosting corporate adoption of blockchain technology. Stellar, meanwhile, is designed as a crypto-based payment system using its XLM token. The project has notably partnered with IBM on its WorldWire payments network, announced this time last year. Overstock's venture arm invests $2 million in blockchain ID firm. Blockchain-based identity firm Evernym has received a $2 million investment from Overstock subsidiary Medici Ventures, according to a release from the company. Medici Ventures participated in Evernym's simple agreement for future equity, SAFE, which will be transferred into preferred stock at an undisclosed date. The round closed earlier this month with Evernym receiving funding from Medici Ventures for realizing its product. A fully owned subsidiary of Overstock.com, Medici Ventures invests in blockchain firms and technology. Evernym joins Netkey and Finclusive as Medici Ventures' other identity-focused portfolio companies. Speaking about the SAFE, newly appointed Overstock CEO and president of Medici Ventures Jonathan Johnson said Evernym is bringing the promise of digital identities to the world through blockchain technology. Evernym is bridging the gap between the siloed approach to identity and true self-sovereign identity, said Johnson. Evernym's platform allows every person, organization, and connected thing to have an independent identity and will help advance our government as a service technology stack for civilization. Evernym president Steve Havas told CoinDesk the startup has been used by over 40 proof-of-concept or pilot projects to date and continues to work toward actualizing data self-sovereignty. Right from the start, we've made it a rule not to cut corners in terms of ensuring a privacy-by-design, privacy-by-default position for our products. Ultimately, we're designing applications that we as individuals would be happy to use. Johnson was appointed interim CEO of Overstock.com on August 22 and full-time CEO a month later, taking over when former CEO Patrick Byrne resigned after admitting an affair with Russian spy Maria Butina. At the time of his interim appointment, Johnson said he was fully ready to run both Overstock.com and Medici Ventures. Property blockchain projects announced in Northeast Asia, one Sony related. In recent weeks, a number of announcements related to blockchain-based real estate initiatives have been made in Northeast Asia. Some involve the participation of major companies and groups, including one with a Sony connection, though most of the activity centers around testing, development agreements, and pilot projects. In early September, SK Securities, a listed Korean brokerage until recently a member of the SK Group, and Casa Korea agreed to form a venture for the creation of blockchain platform that will allow for the issuing and trading of fractional ownership in property assets, according to a report from Yonhap News. Casa Korea was in the first group of 18 companies chosen by the Financial Service Commission, Korea's main financial regulator, for a so-called regulatory sandbox, whereby normal regulations are lifted in order to allow for innovation. Also in early September, JLL Japan said that it would be working with a number of companies, including Sumitomo Mitsui Trust Bank, to develop a digital platform for the recording and management of real estate data. In a pilot, the project will be testing whether the blockchain can be used to centralize income and expense information related to real estate property management. Later in the month, SREAI, a company controlled by Sony and partly owned by Yahoo Japan, said that it would be joining a Sumitomo Mitsui Trust Bank-led project that is working to create a blockchain platform for the facilitation of real estate transactions. The project began earlier in the year and has already moved from the first stage. On September 24, Subi Space, a Japanese real estate blockchain company, and Shinonome Advisors, a real estate firm specializing in law and tax and working with property securitization, said they would be jointly developing a token for the real estate market. The announcement was short on detail, with the companies saying only that the project had been privately discussed in Taiwan in July and would be formally announced in early October. No argument for replacing dollar's global role with crypto, ex-Fed official. A former official from the U.S. Federal Reserve has responded to a proposal from the chief of the Bank of England that a cryptocurrency could be more beneficial in intentional markets than the U.S. dollar. Bloomberg wrote on Wednesday that the governor of the British Central Bank had argued last month that a Libra-like synthetic hegemonic currency, best provided by the public sector, would help end the dominance of the dollar as the global reserve currency. It would, he proposed, also be a better option than another fiat currency, such as the yuan, ultimately replacing USD. In the longer term, we need to change the game. When change comes, it shall not be to swap one currency hegemon for another, Carney said in a speech at the Jackson Hole Symposium 2019. He will step down from his BO role in January 2020. The Libra project, led by Facebook and backed by a group of 28 major firms including Uber, PayPal and Visa, aims to launch a stablecoin representing a basket of fiat currencies and government bonds. Responding to Carney, Simon Potter, who was until recently executive vice president and head of the markets group at the New York Fed, said that the case had no argument to support it and doesn't take into account the benefits of the dollar's international role. At an event in New York yesterday, Potter stated, "I see no argument that makes sense to have something that complicated out there when you have large, liquid capital markets in the U.S. Not having one currency that you can basically price things and have a deep market in, that makes life much harder for the global economy." While it's probably unlikely that the central banks would work together on a shared digital currency, Potter said there's the risk that private firms will, and that should be a concern to central banks. While national monetary sovereignty is designed to protect people and get good outcomes, companies are much more interested in selling products, he argued. Data privacy startup StrongSalt raises $3 million for encrypted API service. A new encryption-as-a-service company raised $3 million to bring standardized encryption techniques to the blockchain. Data privacy startup StrongSalt announced Thursday the closing of a seed round from Valley Capital Partners. Backed by 3 encryption-related patents, StrongSalt will release its API product later this year at the OSRI, Invent 2019 conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. StrongSalt bakes its encryption service into workflows and applications and pairs with both permissioned and permissionless blockchains. StrongSalt is chain agnostic, as we can work with almost any blockchain, StrongSalt CEO Ed Yu told CoinDesk. We use blockchain mainly for 3 reasons: availability of data, reliability of data, and shareability of data. Yu told CoinDesk blockchain technology is used for the security of sharing hashed data on the platform as well as with customers. Raymond Choi of Valley Capital Partners said businesses need trustworthy security mechanisms, something that StrongSalt addresses. Said Choi, currently, businesses have to sacrifice security for usability. Because StrongSalt's innovative platform allows for complete data searchability without giving up sensitive information, it's taking the stress off data management from businesses who can ill afford to drop the ball from being hacked. Valley Capital's Steve O'Hara, who will be joining the StrongSalt board, said the current regulatory environment was the impetus for investing in the company. As the regulatory environment ramps up enforcement and forces business to conform to tightening laws, businesses won't have an easy out if the technology isn't viable or cost-effective, O'Hara said in a statement. Bittrex adopts Chainalysis KYT software to flag suspicious activity. Bittrex, the U.S. crypto exchange, has adopted blockchain compliance firm Chainalysis real-time monitoring software for transactions to flag suspicious activity across many of its leading coins, Bittrex executives told CoinDesk. Bitcoin, ETH, Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, DAI, Gemini, among other cryptocurrencies traded on Bittrex are covered by the new software, known as Chainalysis KYT, Know Your Transaction. Bittrex's adoption of Chainalysis KYT comes as governments and regulators around the world are increasing their oversight of crypto exchanges. In June, the Financial Action Task Force (FATF) gave the exchanges of its 37 member countries 12 months to begin tracking complete customer details on every transaction handled. Though Bittrex was already in compliance with similar U.S. regulations, Chief Compliance and Ethics Officer John Roth said Chainalysis KYT goes further. Its built-in knowledge base of suspicious addresses, darknet sites, child exploitation sites puts Bittrex a step ahead, he said. Having real-time information coming in from which we can make risk decisions is really an amazing step forward, and frankly one that's not available to traditional financial institutions, Roth said. Jonathan Levin, Chainalysis Chief Security Officer, said KYT automates much of Bittrex's review process. The key to supporting a large exchange like Bittrex is building features that enable them to automate their compliance process, prioritize their workflow, and customize their alerts to speed up how fast they can do due diligence, Levin said. Automation helps high-volume exchanges retain compliance sustainability, the capacity to identify a handful of suspicious transactions among millions of otherwise banal crypto trades. The software flags the most likely criminal transactions, but a Bittrex-employed compliance analyst still needs to determine if the threat is valid and then file a suspicious activity report with regulators. Bittrex Ethics Chief Roth said the new software is a response to the crypto space's development and maturation as financial institutions explore exchange-based trades. They need to be assured that we are doing things the right way. Libra crypto is undoubtedly a wake-up call for central banks, says ECB exec. Facebook's Libra could potentially solve some of the problems in the international payments market, but it might create a number of others that will require creative thinking by the regulators, says an European central banker. In comments to the German Federal Parliament Bundestag on Wednesday, Benoît Carré, a member of the executive board of the European Central Bank (ECB), said Libra has undoubtedly been a wake-up call for central banks and policymakers, and they should respond to these challenges. He added that stablecoins, in particular Facebook's Libra cryptocurrency, could help connect the 1.7 billion people globally who are now off the financial grid while at the same time making cross-border payments cheaper, faster and more transparent. In improving access and facilitating cross-border retail payments, they could address 2 key deficiencies in the current architecture of the market. Libra, which is being supported by a consortium led by Facebook, will be connected to a huge existing user base, giving it a truly global footprint, according to Correa, who chairs the Committee on Payments and Market Infrastructures at the Bank for International Settlements. He is also the head of the Group of Seven, G7, Committee on Stablecoins. The central banker raises a number of concerns about stablecoins. He said that they can be used for laundering money and financing terrorism, and he notes the possibility of consumer protection, data security, network stability, competition and taxation issues. He adds that stablecoins have serious implications for monetary policy and financial stability, as the coins can have an impact on money supply outside the normal channels, while the failure of the promised peg or the loss of confidence could have systemic implications. There may be the risk of the monetary sovereignty of countries being infringed, he was quoted as saying in written summary of his comments, which was published by the Bank of International Settlements. While he believes that much can be done to regulate the new products within existing policy frameworks, he said that new approaches are needed. He also said rules need be applied in an internationally consistent manner, suggesting a degree of coordination between institutions globally. In the comments, he said that the G7 Group on Stablecoins would be offering its recommendations in time for the IMF World Bank meeting, which runs October 14 to 20. His comments come as Libra faces hostility from some quarters, especially in Europe and China, but are in line with previous statements by the central banker, indicating that a consensus is developing around a balanced approach of welcoming but tightly supervising the stablecoin. ABN AMRO in money laundering scandal after calling Bitcoin risky. Having trumped up the risks of unregulated cryptocurrencies earlier this year, Dutch bank ABN AMRO NV finds itself in the midst of a major money laundering scandal. On September 26, Bloomberg reported on news of a criminal probe into the bank's alleged failures to report suspicious transactions and to adequately vet its clients. ABN AMRO, which remains over 50% government-owned after a costly bailout, saw its shares slump by as much as 10.3% in Amsterdam trading. This represents the highest plummet since June 2016, with the bank's additional Tier 1 bonds falling the most in 6 months, as Bloomberg notes. Investigation under anti-money laundering and terror financing laws. The Dutch prosecutor's office further revealed that not only does ABN AMRO face scrutiny over its alleged compliance failures, but it is also being investigated under Dutch anti-money laundering and terror financing laws. Exact details of the investigation have not been disclosed. Following a warning from the Netherlands Central Bank, ABN AMRO had announced this July that it needed to conduct better due diligence into all of its 5 million retail clients. It has spent 220 meters to bolster its procedures in its consumer banking, credit card and small business lending operations, taking a 114 million provision for checks in Q2 in addition to 85 million in 2018. The bank had indicated it could face sanctions from authorities but noted that it couldn't prepare for a possible fine as the amount could not be estimated at the time. As the Financial Times has reported, ABN AMRO also tripled its staff numbers to over 1,400 in areas such as compliance, financial crime and anti-money laundering. The situation imperils the Dutch government's pledge to eventually sell off its 56% stake in the bank, and the uncertainty is redoubled by the announcement of CEO Kees van Dijkhuizen to leave when his term ends in April 2020. Notably, ABN AMRO's rival ING Group last year paid a record fine for serious shortcomings in working to prevent financial crime, facilitating money laundering through its accounts for years. Banks under scrutiny. ABN AMRO's crisis comes hot on the heels of a scandal involving Danske Bank's unit in Estonia, whose former head was found dead earlier this week. He had been a witness, though not a suspect, in a major money laundering probe into the unit. Also this week, law enforcement officials raided Deutsche Bank AG this week in connection with the Danske Bank scandal. This May, ABN AMRO's senior press officer revealed that the bank would discontinue its plans to launch a custodial Bitcoin, BTC, wallet, having concluded that cryptocurrencies, because of their unregulated nature, are at the moment too risky assets for our clients to invest in. Bitcoin may see brief bounce after defending key price support. View. Bitcoin is defending the key 200-day moving average support for the third consecutive day and may see a minor bounce to $8,700. A corrective bounce, if any, will likely be short-lived, as the daily and weekly chart indicators are biased bearish. The cryptocurrency will remain on the hunt for a drop to $7,500, as discussed yesterday, as long as the resistance at $9,097 is intact. A break above $9,097 is needed to weaken the bearish case. A stronger sign of bearish invalidation would be a move above the weekly chart resistance at $9,533. Bitcoin's repeated defense of key support may yield a minor bounce, however, the bias will remain bearish as long as prices are held below resistance near $9,100. The top cryptocurrency by market capitalization fell more than 10% on Tuesday, confirming a bullish to bearish trend change and opening the doors for a deeper slide to $7,500. So far, however, dips below the crucial 200-day moving average (MA) line have been short-lived. BTC is currently trading around $8,440 on Bitstamp, having found takers below the long-term average at $8,332 earlier today. The cryptocurrency printed a low of $7,998 on Tuesday but closed UTC above the 200-day MA, then located at $8,288. Similar price action was seen on Wednesday with sellers failing to secure a close below the long-term support. Bitcoin resistance could entice bargain hunters. After all, the MA is widely considered a barometer of a long-term trend. The cryptocurrency is set to be in a bull market if it's charting higher lows above the 200-day MA, while lower lows below the MA represent bearish conditions. While a corrective bounce could be seen in the next 24 hours or so, the bearish outlook would be invalidated only if prices find acceptance above $9,097, May 30th high. Bitcoin's 14-day relative strength index (RSI) is reporting oversold conditions with a below 50 reading. Note that overbought, oversold indicators gain credence only when the price is showing signs of buyer, seller exhaustion. The cryptocurrency is defending the 200-day MA for the third straight day, a sign of temporary seller exhaustion. Hence, an oversold bounce to highs above $8,700 cannot be ruled out. The bounce, however, could be short-lived, as the MACD histogram continues to produce deeper bars below the zero line, meaning the bearish momentum is still quite strong. Further, the 50 and 100-day MAs have produced a bearish crossover. Tuesday's drop below the higher low of $9,097 created on May 30 confirmed the transition from the bullish higher lows, higher highs setup to bearish lower highs, lower lows setup. Hence, the bias will remain bearish and the cryptocurrency will remain on the hunt for a drop below $8,000 as long as prices are trading below $9,097. As of writing, Bitcoin's weekly chart is reporting a double top bearish reversal pattern. The cryptocurrency is currently trading well below the double top neckline of $9,533 and lost set to end the week, Sunday, UTC, below that level, as the relative strength index has turned bearish below 50 for the first time since the end of March. The MACD histogram is also reporting bearish conditions with a below zero print. The double top breakout, a bearish reversal pattern, would be invalidated if prices rise back above $9,533. Mall of America to showcase Winklevoss-backed crypto payments. Cryptocurrency is coming to the Mall of America. Flexa, a startup making it easier to use crypto for purchases in the real world, will be an advisory participant in a new demonstration store at America's largest mall, which is located outside Minneapolis, Min. The store, meant to showcase new brands and technologies for enhancing the retail experience, is being organized by management consulting firm McKinsey. The big thing for us is showing that cryptocurrency is an extremely legitimate, if not the best form of digital payment, Flexa CEO Tyler Spalding told CoinDesk in an interview, adding, "This is going to show the legitimacy of how this stuff works." The store called Modern Retail Collective will test out retail technology under real conditions. Starting Friday morning, the goal will be to help retailers understand which new technologies really add value. With some 8,000 U.S. brick and mortar stores closing this year alone, according to a press release from McKinsey, the question of generating value has taken on a new sense of urgency. Through this project, we'll produce cutting-edge data and analytics to help retailers define their own vision for their store of the future, McKinsey's Praveen Addy said in a statement. Crypto at the mall? Flexis Spalding noted that McKinsey advises companies large enough that very modest cost savings can turn into real money across large chains. We're able to have a solution that makes the consumer experience better and it achieves that kind of goal right out of the gate, Spalding said. Other non-crypto technologies will also be demonstrated in the store, including Facecake, augmented reality, chatter research, conversational AI, and Comkey, digital signage. Square will also be participating in the store as a payment system, but without using its Bitcoin technology, a spokesperson confirmed to CoinDesk. The Flexa payment app, SPEDN, allows for instant payment with cryptocurrency because every transaction is guaranteed by a stake in Flexa's FXC token. Flexa is backed by Gemini, the crypto exchange founded by Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss. Flexa created this functionality so that other wallets could set themselves up as payment apps using Flexa's technology, too. As those partners come online, they will also be able to make purchases at the demo store. Spalding said that Flexa will have a significant footprint at the store, with staff there trained to show people how to use the SPEDN app and get cryptocurrency onto it. Spalding expects some of the retailers to offer small discounts for using crypto for payments because it offers them certain advantages. Zero fraud, Spalding promised. No chargebacks. Discounts or no, SPEDN will be one of the payment options on offer at every retailer in the collective, Spalding told us. The store will be open at least through the holidays, Spalding said. After the demonstration closes, Flexa looks forward to the data McKinsey plans to publish. We'll be able to document all this and we'll be able to participate in the research that McKinsey is really known for, Spalding said, adding, we can really nail down, here's what a transaction costs, here's what the timing is. Facebook's Zuckerberg appears to put Libra launch date in doubt. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has refused to commit to the planned 2020 launch for the Libra cryptocurrency project. Talking in an interview with Nikkei on Thursday, Zuckerberg was asked about the expected date of the stablecoin's arrival, to which he replied, obviously we want to move forward at some point soon, and not have this take many years to roll out, he said. But right now I am really focused on making sure that we do this well. Since the launch of Libra's white paper in June, regulators worldwide have been strident in their objections to the project, saying it poses not only a risk to financial stability and could be used in financial crimes, but it's also a threat to sovereign currencies. Notably, lawmakers in the US and France have called for the project to be halted. The Libra project had appeared to have been sticking to its guns on the 2020 target, with Libra Association Managing Director and COO Bertrand Perez saying in mid-September that we are firmly maintaining our launch schedule, between the end of the first half of the year and the end of 2020. Zuckerberg also said that Facebook is now taking a more cautious approach when bringing forward projects like Libra that are very sensitive for society, allowing a period for consultation and working through the issues. That's a very different approach than what we might have taken 5 years ago, he said. CoinDesk has reached out to the Libra Association, the nonprofit set up to manage and develop the cryptocurrency, to ask if its plans had changed regarding the launch schedule. We will update this article if and when a reply is received. In related news, David Marcus, CEO of Calibra, the entity building a digital wallet for the project, has been making the case for Libra as an improvement on traditional payment systems. In a Medium post Wednesday, he wrote that Libra would be a game changer for the public, arguing that existing money networks are closed and are not well interconnected. They are also outdated, he said, explaining, some of these systems were built in the 1960s and 70s, and while they've received upgrades since then, they often live on top of legacy, fragmented infrastructure. The need for intermediaries in traditional methods of payment also means delays, and added cost at every step of the way, Marcus added. Libra, on the other hand, will enable value to be moved around the world at in near real time and at an incredibly low cost. Marcus further set out his big dream for Libra, saying, "Just like SMTP allowed any email provider to interoperate with other email providers, Libra can be the protocol that will enable fast, cheap, and stable money movement across service providers, institutions, and people all around the world." This, he claimed, would reduce the costs of running payment systems, doing away with intermediaries and reducing operational complexity and overhead. It would also make it easier for people to send and receive money and lower the barrier of access to modern digital money and financial services. Repo market meltdown shows Bitcoin's systemic stability, Caitlin Long. Wyoming Blockchain Coalition President Caitlin Long has responded to the recent unrest in the money markets by analyzing the systemic fragility of the traditional financial sector as compared with Bitcoin, BTC. In a Medium blog post published on September 25, Long made the argument that at a systemic level, the traditional financial system is as fragile as Bitcoin is antifragile. Damage control. Writing in the wake of last week's weakness in the repo markets, which prompted the Federal Reserve to temporarily inject $75 billion in cash to keep rates within its target range, Long argued that the incident represented a modern version of a bank run. She continued, "And it's not over yet. Stepping back, it reveals two big things about financial markets. First, U.S. treasuries are not truly risk-free assets, and second, big banks are significantly undercapitalized. The event doesn't mean another financial meltdown is necessarily imminent, since the brush fire can be doused either by the Fed, or by the banks raising more equity capital." The liquidity squeeze, which pushed overnight repo rates to as high as 10%, well north of the Fed's target 2-2.25% range, had been triggered by the coincidence of corporate tax payments and treasury settlements falling on the same date. Yet rather than being a one-off instance of exceptional, unfortunate pressure on the lending markets, Long notes that this is the fourth such episode since the 2008 meltdown. She critiques the Fed's assertion this June made on the occasion of the publication of its most recent bank stress tests that the financial system remains resilient, arguing that the proclamation strains credulity. She further notes that a staggering amount of U.S. dollar liabilities have been issued offshore in recent decades, and the Fed not only doesn't control them but can't measure them with any degree of accuracy. Bitcoin, an insurance policy against systemic instability. This inherent obfuscation particularly glaring when it comes to highly rehypothecated assets such as U.S. Treasuries was importantly conceded by the chairman of the CFTC, Chris Giancarlo, during questions following a 2016 speech. He remarked that, "At the heart of the financial crisis, perhaps the most critical element was the lack of visibility into the counterparty credit exposure of one major financial institution to another. Probably the most glaring omission that needed to be addressed was that lack of visibility, and here we are in 2016 and we still don't have it." In conclusion, Long makes the case that while commentators frequently point to volatile price performance when it comes to Bitcoin, it is significantly more stable systemically. Bitcoin's price is highly volatile, but as a system, it is more stable. Bitcoin is not a debt-based system that periodically experiences bank run-like instability. In this regard, Bitcoin is an insurance policy against financial market instability. Bitcoin is no one's IOU. It has no lender of last resort because it doesn't need one. Earlier this month, crypto fund executive Travis Kling argued that the specific properties of Bitcoin make it an exceptional hedge against monetary and fiscal irresponsibility from central banks and governments globally. The new Medici Bank is about to take on its first crypto clients. A new crypto-friendly bank with a historic pedigree is about to take on its first clients. Revealed exclusively to CoinDesk, Medici Bank is launching into private beta in October. The Puerto Rico-based bank will be testing the digital onboarding process, web portals, and its application programming interface with five companies from around the globe. Two or three of those companies will be crypto businesses and at least one of them will be an exchange, Ed Boyle, CEO of Medici, told CoinDesk. Such firms are instructive to bring on during a testing phase to see if the bank's systems can scale to accommodate trading volumes. Crypto companies are high-throughput types of clients, Ed Boyle, CEO of Medici, said. If we can handle that, we can handle anything. Founded by Prince Lorenzo de' Medici, a descendant of the Renaissance-era Italian banking family, Medici Bank will join the short list of financial institutions that welcoming to crypto companies. Most banks are loath to serve the sector because the perceived risk of money laundering makes compliance expensive relative to the revenue generated by the account. The handful of U.S. banks willing to bank crypto firms include Silvergate in California and Signature, Metropolitan Commercial and Quantic Bank in New York. Fedor Bank in Germany, whose U.S. operations Boyle used to oversee, also has crypto clients. There are fewer than 10 banks on the entire planet that are crypto-friendly, Boyle said. $1 billion goal? By the end of the year, Medici Bank will go into open beta, a not fully operational environment with a restricted number of users. The bank plans to fully launch in the first quarter of 2020 with a goal of $1 billion in combined deposits and assets under management within 3 years. Medici aims to have a clientele split evenly between fintech companies, including crypto businesses, import-export companies and private wealth clients, but don't know when we'll achieve something that looks like parity, Boyle said. Just as fighters have a plan until they get punched in the mouth and no battle plan survives first contact with the enemy, we fully expect our plans to adjust greatly after we get to market. While the bank's appetite for banking crypto companies is not limitless, Medici is willing to have up to a third or half of its total business be crypto clients, Boyle said. Licensed as an international financial entity (IFE) by Puerto Rico's Office of the Commission of Financial Institutions, Medici Bank has 6 employees and plans to have 20 by the end of this year, 50 by the end of 2020 and 100 by the end of 2021. Meantime, Boyle is working with third-party companies, which he wouldn't name, to enable Medici to analyze blockchain data. Looking at the movement of funds on a public ledger, Boyle argues, is more effective than traditional ways of detecting suspicious activity. It's a heck of a lot easier to analyze a blockchain than it is to analyze a paycheck, he said. In banking crypto-related companies, we don't have to make assumptions, we just figure out what the wallet address is and analyze the history of that wallet address. And in the longer term, Medici aims to use blockchain technology itself. Broader ambition. Ultimately, Medici's goal is to decentralize banking, Boyle said. To that end, he is in talks with digital banks around the globe about creating a network with multiple interoperable blockchains to facilitate instant sharing of know-your-customer information, identity transportability, real-time cross-border payments and account transfers. Digital banks are generally defined as any provider of banking services without branches, serving clients only through mobile apps or the web. Boyle, however, reserves the term for providers with actual licenses, not prepaid cards that ride on top of some legacy bank, a dig at fintech startups that have traditional banks enabling their services on the back end. Each of these banks would run a node on the blockchain network and would have access to local payment rails in those geographies. Currently, only large centralized foreign exchange desks can enable cross-border transactions between large banks, Boyle said. Medici's blockchain network aims to allow small digital banks to work around those larger institutions, he said. Banks that have made splashy announcements about using blockchains for settlements of internal client transfers are not truly using a blockchain because they only involve one node, Boyle argued. With multiple nodes run by separate banks, the participants in Medici's proposed network could trust the blockchain as an immutable system of record. It only makes sense to deploy a blockchain where you have counterparties, Boyle said. I am a blockchain maximalist. Blockchain is not something that's between Wells Fargo New York and Wells Fargo London. Another benefit to customers of this arrangement is that they would be able to switch accounts between participating banks in one click, in contrast to the rigmarole usually involved in moving one's money to a new institution. Frictionless switching is anathema for banking, Boyle said, concluding, banks like to put up walled gardens and make it difficult for you to take your money elsewhere. We want to make it very easy for you to send your money elsewhere, whether it's from one place to another or from one bank to another. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.